Young Turks. You guys have done some math that I want to share with you guys. Anna's here, obviously. We've got some amazing stories. You worked up about that first story we're going to get to in a second. Okay. Tom Zawaki says, at the end of a 10-year period, 58 million people will be without health care. That's 5 million more than pre-Affordable Care Act. So Obamacare didn't get everybody in health insurance. Got a lot more people health insurance, but it didn't cover everybody. If we just left it alone, though, it would have been better than if we went through Obamacare and the Republican fix. Okay. Now, remember what the Obama and the Democrats told us, by the way. No, it's okay. We take half a loaf, which in reality is a quarter of a loaf, and then we'll work our way to the whole loaf. It turns out, no, we worked to a negative loaf now.
Did we really?
Huh?
Wait, how does that make sense, though?
Because Obamacare covered more people. Now the Republican plan is going to come and uncover them.
Right.
So we're going to be in worse shape than if we had done nothing, if we had done Obamacare and then the Republican fix.
Right. I mean, that's one way to frame it. But also, there were a lot of people who managed to get health care that they desperately needed during those years.
So that's a great point.
My mom is an example of that, right? You know, she had a pre-existing condition, chronic kidney disease, and you know, insurance companies didn't want to cover her. And because of the Affordable Care Act, she managed to get coverage. She managed to get a kidney transplant. And so that's just one anecdotal example. But there are, of course, many more. So
yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, and I don't think Tom is saying that we shouldn't have done the Affordable Care Act. I think the point being made is that the Republican proposal is so draconian that it completely wipes it out and then some.
Right, yes.
All right, Seth Jones says, what if we just asked the next Republican representative on live TV, can you give me one example of trickle down working? By the way, when I was on MSNBC, I would ask questions like that, and then I would get in trouble for it, just so you know. Okay, Tim Hickson says, response to trickle down economics, Sam Brownback in Kansas, end of discussion. So that's a great point, and that's a point JR made in the production meeting today. Sam Brownback got the Republicans everything they ever wanted in Kansas, all the tax cuts they want, obliterated Kansas's economy, destroyed their budget. It does not work. All right, last one here. Daddy Doe says about the Trump's lawyer story and how he gave his brother $9.2 million through his nonprofit. $9.2 million divided by 204 months, that's 2000 to 2017, the period that this Guardian story covered, is over $45,000 per month for Sekulow's brother. Are they hiring or adopting? Damn, okay. He paid his brother $45,000 a month.
That's insane.
Okay, let alone all the houses and the private jets and then what he paid himself and his law firm and his talk show and all that stuff. Oh, man, Ishka Bibble says, man, don't go to college, open a freaking church. Well, you know, if you do want to scam people, an obvious target are people who believe in fairy tales. So I'm sorry, I feel bad saying it, but it is true. All right, let's go forward.
All right, I want to do a quick announcement before we get onto the stories because I think it's important and I want to encourage you guys to go. All right, so TYT will be at Politicon this year. The dates are July 29th and the 30th. And I'm actually extremely excited. In the past, when I've done Politicon events, it's always been panels. Last year I did that panel with a number of anti-Bernie Sanders people, and of course it was a lot of fun because I was the only one on there that supported Bernie. But this year we're going to be debating people. Debates are going to happen.
Can I just say, if you missed Politicon last year, that was a mistake, because Anna's panel alone was worth the price of admission, because they love balance. They love talking in the press about balance, right?
Right.
But all of a sudden, there was only one Bernie Sanders supporter and wall-to-wall Hillary Clinton supporters.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Including a lot of the people you see on TV. And she mauled. The entire crowd was on your side. But look, it's not just that you kicked ass. It's not that the crowd was on your side. It's that if the crowd, even if like it's unfair because the crowd is all Bernie Sanders, then maybe you should have a couple of Bernie Sanders panelists.
Right.
But they didn't need it because they had Anna.
Well, and it was a fun discussion and I really enjoyed it. But this year is also going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get involved in a number of debates. Cenk, who are you debating?
Oh boy, here we go. Buckle up, everybody. You asked for it, you're going to get it. Ben Shapiro.
Okay. Bloop, 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 bloop. All right.
Right wingers have been asking for quite some time. Come and see.
All right. And I will be debating Ann Coulter.
Damn.
Ann versus Anna. Anna versus Ann. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. And Hassan will also be there, and he is also debating someone who is a millennial who is very much against millennials. Like, that's his whole shtick. So that should be a lot of fun as well.
That ought to be great. Woke Bay versus Sleepy Bay.
Anyway, you guys can get your tickets by going to politicon.com/TYT. Politicon.com/TYT. It takes place in Pasadena, California. We really hope to see you guys there, so definitely check it out.
And if you're watching this as a video on YouTube or Facebook, we'll have the link down below for you guys.
Yes.
And by the way, thank you for coming in, passengers. When I debated Ann Coulter and Dinesh D'Souza, you rocked their world. So let's do it again.
Yes. All right, moving on to some news. My absolute favorite story of the day. Jason Chaffetz has been known for his aggressive nature in terms of reforming entitlements. He believes that entitlements need to be reformed. It's a waste of money. People need to pick themselves up by the bootstraps, which is a curious position to take considering the fact that he just gave an interview to The Hill where he argued, you know, housing's really expensive, especially in DC, and members of Congress should get a stipend every month just so they can be able to afford housing in the district. Okay.
Oh my God.
No, this story is bananas. Okay, so let me give you his quotes, and then I'm gonna give you a little context, okay? So he tells The Hill, I really do believe Congress would be much better served if there was a housing allowance for members of Congress. In today's climate, nobody's going to suggest or vote for a pay raise, but you shouldn't have to be among the wealthiest of Americans to serve properly in Congress. Okay, so I wanna stop right there. First of all, I don't know if these are his intentions, but a stipend is taxed differently from a pay raise. A stipend usually means that you don't have to pay Social Security tax.
Oh, so it's better than a pay raise.
It's even better than a pay raise if they get, I mean, the balls on this guy. He wants a $2,500 a month stipend for our lawmakers because the insane salary that they're making isn't enough. And by the way, when I say insane, it's insane to me and most Americans because, you know, most people don't make, what is it, $174,000 a year. And that's not including donations and things like that, that I'm sure, you know, he benefits from as well. But anyway, let me give you more details. Washington, he says, Washington DC is one of the most expensive places in the world, and I flat out cannot afford a mortgage in Utah. Kids in college in a second place here in Washington DC. I think a $2,500 housing allowance would be appropriate and a real help to have at least a decent quality of life in Washington if you're going to expect people to spend hundreds of nights a year here. Wait a minute. Wait, you're worried about a decent quality of life when you deny Americans that you're supposed to be representing a decent quality of life. I don't care about how many kids you have. I don't care if they're going to private school. Pick yourself up by the bootstraps, dude.
Now, if Jason Chaffetz was a champion of the poor and the needy, or even the middle class, and said, no, look, you know, we need to increase the earned income tax credit because that goes to the working poor. We need to, you know, make sure that if you don't have money, you get a stipend for food so your kids don't starve. Then he asked for a stipend on his own. I said, but look, Jason, I mean, you're making $174,000 a year. That's a hell of a lot better than these people who need those food stamps, but I'll hear you out. But no, he fights against all those programs. So if you're middle class, does Jason want you to get a stipend? Hell no. You're poor, you're working poor, you're working your ass off, you're working two jobs. Does he want you to get an increase in minimum wage? Hell no. That's money you earned. Food stamps? So no, everything, stipends, no. Then he's got bootstraps for you. But now I got my crocodile tears. Oh, I'm only making $174,000. How am I supposed to put my kids through private school? I mean, I wouldn't want them going to school with your kids.
Oh, it just gets better though. I mean, Jason Chaffetz loves to go on cable television and talk about individuals in America who are needy, who do need some government assistance. And, you know, he did make news earlier this year when he said this. Take a look.
And you know what? Americans have choices, and they've got to make a choice. And so maybe rather than getting that new iPhone that they just love and they want to go spend hundreds of dollars on that, maybe they should invest it in their own health care. They've got to make those decisions themselves.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, bro, like stop buying your iPhone and then maybe you'll be able to afford a home or something in DC, you know? Just don't buy that iPhone, because avoiding purchasing technology like an iPhone is gonna somehow magically give you enough money to provide for your family, to afford healthcare, to afford an expensive ass home in Washington, DC. I mean, this guy's a clown, and the inability to ever empathize with anyone else while arguing that members of Congress should get this insane amount of money, $30,000 a year just for housing, is just ridiculous.
And that's, again, as you point out, post-taxes. So if you had to pay taxes on that, we're talking about a $45,000, $50,000 a year job, which is more than the average American gets for their entire job. You know that if you're making around minimum wage, you make around 20,000 bucks. So he's asking for more than twice the minimum wage just for his housing. Because how else could he afford two homes, one in Utah and one in Washington, while his kids are in private school? But you want to just get healthcare so you can live? Well, then don't buy your iPhone.
I know, it's crazy. And by the way, since we are on the topic of minimum wage, what does Chaffetz think about increasing minimum wage? Well, here's an interview that he did back in 2014.
It also says nearly 900,000 low-wage Americans would be lifted out of poverty, and they'll also have, you know, more purchasing power with an additional $5 billion in their pockets. January 8th, poll by Quinnipiac University found that 71% of Americans, including 52% of Republicans, support a higher minimum wage. Where do you stand on that?
Absolutely not. I would totally disagree with that. The idea that we'd lose 500,000 jobs is devastating to people. And one part of the conversation that I think really needs to be injected in this is what it would do to our youth. You know, I remember as a young man, I didn't make minimum wage, but I got a job and I had to go to work and I learned the value of work. When you raise the minimum wage, you're going to squeeze out more of our youth, and particularly in inner cities, young kids who need jobs and they need to know how to work. That has got to be part of the discussion.
Okay, a couple of things about that. We just did a story about how Seattle raised their minimum wage, not like in that story where they were saying 10 bucks, but to 15 bucks, and they didn't lose any jobs. It's not true. Study after study shows it. In fact, they then spend more money in the economy gets healthier, creates more jobs, not less jobs. So it's not true. But notice that he said, kids in the inner city. Yeah, because it's like the poor are always in the inner city. They're not good white folks, you know. Well, he didn't have to say inner city. Where the hell did that come from, right? And so when it comes to you, no. Absolutely not. And that is not a stipend. That's not a handout. You're working hard. But Jason Chaffetz says, no, you should not get more than $7.25 an hour. Right. But him, he needs a $30,000 stipend for his second home.
For his second home in DC, just so he can do his job properly. Because, you know, in the past, members of Congress haven't been able to do their job properly simply because they weren't given, you know, this chunk of cash to be able to afford a home in DC. Now, by the way, yesterday we just did a story about how as many as 14% of college students are homeless or precariously housed, meaning they're living out of their cars, right? Is he concerned about that? He's not concerned about that, but he's concerned about being able to afford that second home in DC. All right, so let's talk a little bit about minimum wage real quick, just to give you the numbers, okay? So the current wage, minimum wage in DC is $11.50, okay? So that ends up being a $23,920 salary per year. That's still not the $30,000 that he's asking for in the form of a stipend for housing. Now keep in mind that the minimum wage is set to increase in Washington, DC on July 1st of this year, and it will go up to $12.50, but still, that will lead to a yearly salary of $26,000. I know I already said this, but let me repeat. Chaffetz has a yearly salary of $174,000. And keep in mind that his net worth officially, okay, we don't know what his real net worth is, it could be more, is $308,000.
But you don't buy an iPhone. He needs a second home, so of course he needs more government assistance on top of his government salary. But remember how bad big government is. Of course, as if it's trying to help you.
Right.
If it's helping him, then all of a sudden he loves big government. Their hypocrisy knows no bounds.
It's crazy. All right, let's move on to some other news. Martin Shkreli, the infamous pharma bro, is about to stand trial. And of course, the first part of this trial is jury selection. However, the trial is kind of having a difficult time finding the right jurors because people seem to be incredibly biased against him. In fact, people who don't even know who he is look at his face and they just think, that guy looks like a crook. And we don't think that we can get over that in order to rule unbiased in an unbiased fashion. So let me give you the details. More than 120 potential jurors were dismissed Monday, that's yesterday, from the federal court trial in Brooklyn, where Shkreli faces 8 counts of securities and wire fraud related to 2 hedge funds and the drug company Retrofin. So this isn't even about the drug company that he had, known as Turing Pharmaceuticals, which of course did the price gouging of a drug known as Daraprim. He increased the price from $13.50 a pill to $750 a pill. Okay, so he's a bad dude. Now, when the jurors or potential jurors were questioned about him, here are some of the quotes or statements that they made. One juror said, "This is the price gouger of drugs. My kids are on some of these drugs. This impacts my kids."
Gone.
Gone.
So, I mean, I like the jury system. I know that that's not oftentimes a popular opinion, but I like facing a jury of my peers. But it's kind of a weird situation where if you are personally affected by this and hence understand it better than anyone else, you're not allowed on the jury. They
right.
consider that bias. I would consider that a very legitimate perspective. So, but no, those guys are gone.
Yes, let me give you a few other examples of people who will not be on the jury. Many jurors seem to see Shkreli as the face of corporate greed in America. That's what one man said. Another individual said, "I think he's a very evil man.
Wow.
I don't think I can be fair. My opinion is pretty well informed. I wouldn't want to serve on this jury."
He's saying his opinion is well formed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. And on that one, yeah, I'd release that juror. One guy in the jury thinks yeah. the dude is already evil before the trial. Yeah, you gotta go.
Now, not everyone who was a potential juror knew who he was. They don't necessarily follow the news, but they seem to have a bias against him anyway on face alone. And that was a pretty incredible component to this story. So one person who didn't know anything about him said, "I looked right at him and in my head I said, that's a snake," not knowing who he was. I mean, look, some might say like, isn't that kind of unfair? But he can't even take a single picture without looking like a smug prick. And if you don't believe me, let's go to graphic 9, okay? Let's go to graphic 10.
And so, yeah,
he just,
I mean,
he just always
he doesn't have to make that face.
Look at that face. Why does he make that face? It's like he wants people to hate him.
Yeah, so it's not the contours of his face. It's the look that he constantly has, like
the expression.
I'm screwing you somehow.
Yeah, and then my favorite quote, again, this is a person who didn't know anything about him prior to jury selection. One man said, "Kind of looks like a dick."
He was led on to the jury because the judge found that a statement to be accurate. No, he wasn't.
No,
he's not allowed on the jury. Shkreli might have a little bit of a tough time in this case, partly because he's wrong.
Yeah.
The jurors apparently, see, that's how I told you, I believe in the jury system. They could sense that this guy is who he actually is.
Yeah, look, we obviously covered him and we know that he's not a great person. However, I think everyone, regardless of who they are, deserves a fair trial. And so I do hope that they find jurors who are not biased, you know, immediately biased against him. And I hope justice is served. That's my take on it.
If you say so. No, of course, of course. Look, don't, I know Shkreli might be a unique case, but overall, don't make judgments on people based on their face. Not a good idea, okay? Believe me, you'll have plenty of evidence to decide that he's a dick anyway.
Okay. All right, should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a quick break. When we come back, more dicks. No, a woman gets kicked out of a pool for arousing teenage boys. What did she do? Did she have it coming? When we return. Oh no, when we return. I'm back on the Young Turks. Frank Mechem and Marquise Turner are the members of the day. This month we're doing a free trial, so a whole month of membership for free. One time opportunity. It's not really one time. I think we did something like this like 5 years ago.
Yeah, it happens very rarely. So take advantage of this rare opportunity.
Yeah.
The post game is going to be really good today. I have a topic in mind.
And lucky for you, you can get it for free right now if you sign up at tytnetwork.com/join. So Pudding writes in, Jason to Chaffetz, do what my friends do who can't afford stuff. Join the military and come back home to a shit system that doesn't take care of you. Problem solved. At home activism says Chaffetz must be eating too much avocado toast.
Oh, way to fuse two stories together.
Nice job, at home activism. You know what?
Can we give that person a shirt, please? I like that one.
Oh, now you want a stipend for your good copets. No, at home activism, you got a free t-shirt. Okay, by the way, shoptyt.com, we got a new website. You guys should check that out. So lots of great shirts on there, but at home you'll get one. That was a great comment about the toast. I'm a Derpy Panda says, didn't they scientifically prove that Shkreli has the most punchable face? Gonna be hard to find jurors. The young scientist says, they just look at his face and see a crook. Ha ha ha, damn, I almost feel bad for him. Just kidding. I'm right there with you, brother. All right, let's go. We got a lot more stories for you guys.
All right. A Tennessee woman was shamed away from the apartment's pool because one woman claimed that her outfit or her bathing suit was too seductive and would excite teenage boys. Okay, so Tori Jenkins is the woman who was confronted about her bathing suit, and we are about to show you these images.
Wait, so warn the kids though.
But make sure that your teenage boys are not watching, because if they do get a stiffy, well, you know, the world will come to an end. Now, here's her outfit. I mean, she's wearing a one piece, and to be quite honest with you, I mean, I've been to Miami. I've seen what, you know, scantily clad is. This is not it. She's wearing a perfectly fine bathing suit.
On South Beach, they have topless women. I mean, what are the teenagers? What about should?
Do they really have topless women?
Yeah, they do. Okay. They don't give a damn.
Do you, Boos? All right, so there she is, Tori Jenkins. Keep in mind, this is the apartment building that she is living in. This story started to gain traction because her fiance wrote about it on his Facebook page, and that post went viral. And an interesting component of that post included the $300 that Tori Jenkins had paid to maintain the pool that she was essentially shamed out of using because her one piece was too seductive for teenage boys, according to one woman. Now, she complained about it, right? She went to management for the apartment building and brought up the issue. And guess what? They doubled down and they said, maybe you should wear a towel around your body when you're walking around the pool.
Oh, I got an idea. Why don't they make her wear a burkini?
But that's the thing. The burkini point is such a good one because it shows you that you cannot win in America if you're a woman. If you're considered scantily clad, well, you're a slut, and these teenage boys can't contain themselves, so you gotta go. If you wear a burkini, you get judged for that too. So like, what can we do? What can we wear that won't offend some rando at the pool who's much too concerned with what everyone else is wearing, as opposed to, I don't know, maybe disciplining your kids if you really think that your teenage boys can't help themselves and can't behave because they see a woman wearing a one piece.
So, by the way, the boys didn't do anything here. It's just a mom assuming
exactly,
right, that her, like, and what an wonderfully awkward conversation. You go to the management of the apartment and say, I believe that my kids are going to masturbate over this woman over there, so can you do something about it? Because my teenage boys might have erections.
But let me be clear about something. The woman in question who confronted Tori Jenkins did not go to the management. The individual who did go to management was Tori Jenkins, because she was upset at the way that she was treated at the pool, which, by the way, she helped pay to maintain, right? Yeah. And so the management for the apartment decided to double down on what that woman had said to her. And so it's just, anyway, let me give you a quote from Jenkins herself. She says, she basically told me that if I didn't have kids, I wouldn't understand. If her kids were at the pool, she wouldn't want me in that swimsuit, how inappropriate I looked.
And now I, of course, realize one more thing. It might not be her kids she's worried about, it might be her husband. I'm not saying anything,
I'm
just saying, right? It's a little bit of speculation. So if I was Tory Jenkins and somebody asked me to leave because of that, I'd be like, that's like your opinion, man.
No.
Hashtag suck it, because I have every right to be in this pool just as much as you do. So go ahead and piss off.
I know, I would take it further. And the way that I would take it further is I'd go back inside my apartment, I would find some pasties, and then I would find a G-string, and I would go back out to the pool, and I would perform salsa around the pool premises. Okay?
So now every guy is going to complain about Anna's outfit at a pool. Be like, no, don't get the pasties, okay. Don't get them. Okay.
That's what I would do. Okay. Oh, you don't like that? All right, well then why don't you take your ass back to your apartment?
Okay. Like, you don't have to use the pool, and neither do your apparently theoretically horny teenage kids. Okay, one last thing. Go back to graphic 18, because I want to give Tory Jenkins one more prop here. So the first picture. Anybody notice the fun alien she has as a tattoo there on her side?
I did notice, but I didn't acknowledge it. Yeah, it is fun.
Okay, yeah, well, you know, a little bit of...
She's just
having fun. She's got an alien on her.
Yeah, she's a young woman. She just wants to go out and have a swim, enjoy the sun, enjoy the pool that she paid to help maintain. Okay. All right, moving on to other news.
I'm sorry, I can't get over it. That you would walk up to somebody else and be like, you look too good. I believe that you will sexually arouse other human beings.
I mean, if she framed it that way, maybe it wouldn't be as big of a story, right? But it seemed like it was more like, shame on you, you should cover up.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah. All right. A vendor on Amazon is catching a little heat after the ad that they placed on the website features a photo that unfortunately seems a little insulting toward those who are considered plus size. Now, Arrive Guide is the name of the vendor. They don't seem to have their own website, and it's very difficult to find any type of management to contact. However, they do sell activewear for all types of women, regardless of your body shape. And so here is a photo for the plus size leggings that they sell. And some women came across this and they're like, that's a little unnecessary.
No, it's totally insulting. I mean, you're trying to sell this product, and basically you're saying, you're so large, I could fit two of these models into the leggings that I'm selling you. I mean, come on, dude. And they couldn't find one actual human being to fit in the leggings. See, this is what drives people like me crazy about the fashion industry. Like, they're unbearable, and they think they're so holier than thou, like I'm better than other people. And then they're like, oh, I do declare, what are we going to sell to the regular people who, you know, are not incredibly skinny like us and glamorous? Look at these leggings. Let's put a model in one of the legs.
What I don't understand is, look, why? Why did they need to go the extra mile to be insulting? Especially because they're trying to sell a product, right? Let's not forget what their true intentions are. Their true intentions are, we have this product, we want to sell this product. You don't sell a product by insulting the demographic that you're attempting to sell it to. So it was a weird business decision. But aside from that, you know, for people who are like, oh, what's the big deal? Why are people so offended? Okay, well, if you want to encourage people to have an active lifestyle, to go out there and, you know, take charge of their health, you don't do it by shaming them, you don't do it by insulting them, right? If anything, that makes them feel worse about themselves, that discourages them from getting active. And that's honestly the worst part about all of this. Like, the people who are like, oh yeah, you're overweight, and you just start like insulting them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're not going to want to get healthy because you're insulting them.
And especially so if they're going out to exercise in public, whether they're going to do yoga or they're actually jogging in public as I do, and then you know you're making fun, well, that's not going to help them at all, right? Anyway, so I have a very thick skin, so I'm amused by it. But it reminds me of sometimes when I go jogging in public and people say things, they mean well, they don't mean anything bad, but they'll be like, keep going.
That's so terrible.
Like you never say that to a fit guy who's got a six pack who's running, right?
No, I'm too busy staring.
Right. But to me, they feel like that dude's about to pass out any second. You go get him, big guy. Way to go, champ. And they'll say things like, hang in there.
That's insane.
Anyway, I love you for it. I know you mean well. It's all good.
Yeah. Anyway, just trying to give some good marketing tips to other businesses out there that want to market their plus size clothing. Just don't insult the demographic you're trying to sell to. That's all I'm saying.
Seems easy.
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
All right. Actually, we are not going to have enough time in this segment to do the rest of the stories. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a lot of time not to be able to do stories. Okay. So let me tell you about other things and take your tweets. This is not something that happens frequently. Okay, so number one, everybody remember Politicon, that's happening. The exciting announcement was today, Anna versus Ann Coulter, politicon.com/TYT. That's gonna be a debate. We're also gonna do panels, by the way. Me versus Ben Shapiro, Haas versus Sleepy Bay.
Is his name really Sleepy Bay?
No, of course I made that up. He's against millennials, and Haas is for millennials, so he's woke Bay.
Oh, so, that's right. Okay, I get it now.
So it's July 29th and 30th. It's in Pasadena Convention Center. Pasadena, home of excellent hamburgers. If you've never had a hamburger in Pasadena, you should check that out while you're at Politicon. Random. Politicon.com/TYT. Now, the other good news of the day is that I'm gonna read you guys polls from last night, so that's important. Is that, like I said, free trial for TYT membership this month. So you get a whole month of membership. So that's, you gotta use promo code FREETYT. Thank you for reminding me. So there's one little tricky part. When you go to tytnetwork.com/join, click on the $10 a month membership. It doesn't mean you have to pay. You just put in the promo code FREETYT and you'll get it, okay? And then you can get Aggressive Progressive, Old School, you can get all those shows, you can get the archives. In fact, you can go binge on the Young Turks, because since we have the archives, you can go back and watch the old schools and the old Aggressive Progressives.
Damn.
So it's a great opportunity. Definitely do it now. TYTnetwork.com/join and then promo code FREETYT. Okay, so we asked, should the professor who said Otto Warmbier got exactly what he deserved have been fired? Now that's a slightly biased way of framing the poll question. Since I'm on the other side of it, I don't love that framing. Nonetheless, I'll read you the results. A lot of people voted, and 64% agreed with Anna, should be fired.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Awesome. Thanks.
Now she said other things, so just putting in there got exactly what he did. That was the worst thing she said. Anyway.
That's what got her fired.
Okay, anyways. 36% said that she should not have been fired. And was the Virginia shooter a terrorist? We asked that last week. 89% said yes. 10.7% said no. All right, thank you guys for watching. And for the online show, we'll be back. Radio, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. All right, back on the Young Turks. Two more stories for you guys. Let's do it.
All right. A TSA agent in Orlando, Florida got caught stealing money from a traveler's luggage. Now this all started when Kathleen Duddleson was pulled aside for a random pat down. And as she was being patted down, her bag was going through the conveyor belt and Alexander Shea Johnson was going through it. Now, as he was going through it, she noticed that there was something kind of shady going on. So as soon as she got her bag back, she looked through it to see if the money that she placed in the bag was still there. And sure enough, it was gone. Now, Shea Johnson had a bulge in his pocket and she—
And not just because he was happy to see you.
She assumed that the money was stolen and she alerted the authorities immediately. Sure enough, they looked at the surveillance camera and they found that he did in fact steal the money. And so he is now facing charges for doing so. And it sounds like this is an isolated incident, right? It's not that big of a deal, except it's not. So in 2012, a TSA agent at JFK International Airport was accused of stealing $5,000 from a passenger's jacket. That same year, another former TSA employee told the New York Daily News that stealing from passengers was, quote, very commonplace. Also, since 2003, just under 400 TSA officers had been fired for stealing from passengers.
But by the way, that's the ones that got caught.
Yes.
Okay, let alone the ones, most of them probably didn't get caught. You know, it's funny because every time they make me take out my money, whether it's a wallet or just cash, because if you're going through the big scanner, they make you take out everything, including the cash. They insist on it.
Yes.
Right? I'm like, it's cash. What? I mean, who cares, right? And they're like, no, you gotta put it in the bin. And I'm always like, that always makes me a little nervous. Always like watching it through the bin. Especially when you're going to Vegas and you have a little bit of cash on you. On the way back, it's not an issue at all.
Well, I've gotten really smart when it comes to travel. And so I now travel, I try to fit everything into a backpack. Because a backpack, you're not gonna have a hard time putting it under the seat if the overhead bins are full. And they're always full because people travel with like full size luggage and they carry it onto the plane, makes me crazy. And then also, I just don't take jewelry, I don't take cash, I don't take anything that's super valuable. So if I do get anything stolen or if I do lose something, it's not the end of the world. And it's hard to do that because sometimes you wanna be like stylish and chic, but you know, be stylish and chic at home, it's fine.
Yeah, and when when I hesitate to put the money in, the other TSA agents be like, no, it's fine. Yeah, sometimes, and sometimes not, because people are human beings. TSA agents aren't worse than the average guy, they're also not better than the average guy, they're just humans, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes a little five-finger discount, and that happens all the time, yeah.
So when you were away, Ben and I covered a story involving police brutality, and he made a really great point about how important it is to hire police officers who are properly vetted, but also paid a lot. So it's a prestigious job. It's not something that you fall into. And I think the same can be said for TSA agents. Okay, so I looked into the salaries of TSA agents because I was curious, like how much money do they make? And remember, these are people who are in charge of keeping us safe, properly screening us, all of that. And also not doing something unlawful and unethical like stealing from passengers. Well, the average TSA agent makes $16.59 an hour, which is good money, right? But if you look at their yearly salary, it's $37,656. That's not a lot of money. I know a lot of people make salaries close to that and they survive. But if you want to hire the best of the best, I think that you need to create a position that is prestigious, that is difficult to get and does pay properly.
So this is a problem that a lot of developing countries have, which is that the cops aren't paid very well, so they supplement their income through corruption. So that's why you've got rampant corruption in a lot of places throughout the world. By the way, that's the same thing we had here. Remember when we had prohibition and the gangsters would always pay off the cops? It's not to say that we've solved the issue of corruption altogether, but we did make a concerted effort to pay cops more at some point in this country, and it went a long way towards solving the problem of corruption, reduced it greatly. So a point well taken also in the case of the TSA.
And just to be clear, I'm not making excuses for TSA agents who have stolen from passengers. That's wrong and they shouldn't do that. I'm just saying that you should obviously attract the best of the best by making it a prestigious position. Okay, let's move on to the next story.
Yeah, and last thing is full body scam. A nice work on whoever came up with that.
I did.
Oh, look at Casper. Okay. That's very clever.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Final story for you guys. The European Union has fined Google a whopping $2.72 billion for violating its antitrust laws. Now, it sounds like a ton of money for the average Joe, but of course, it's not gonna do much for Google's bottom line. However, it is a record fine, and I wanna give you some details as to why they decided to fine Google. So they did a year-long analysis of Google's online search results, and it showed that the company lists links to its own online shopping services above those of rivals, which, to be quite honest with you, is unsurprising, and I didn't really know that that broke any laws. But anyway, let me give you more. So Google lists search results to its biggest rivals in online shopping only on page 4, and smaller rivals even lower. What Google has done is illegal. This is according to the EU Competition Commissioner. Under EU antitrust laws or rules, it denied other companies the chance to compete on the merits and to innovate. And most importantly, it denied European consumers a genuine choice of services and the full benefits of innovation. So obviously, Google is a search engine, and if they, you know, have products, their products are going to come first, especially above their rivals. I mean, that's why I say it's not, it didn't seem unusual, and it's certainly not unexpected, but it did break laws in the EU, which is fascinating.
Yeah, well, so whether we agree with those laws or not, they are apparently the laws. So sad day for Google. And sometimes some companies, I'm not saying Google did this because I don't know, will be like, no, us benefit ourselves above our competitors. Why? We would never. In fact, the famous case of that is ongoing controversy now about net neutrality, where the internet providers say, slow down our competitors' websites and speed up our own. If you take away net neutrality rules, no, we would never do that. So, and that would be a tremendous problem. I'm with you, Anna, here. On this one, I'm not that surprised. And it's a private company. So, you know, if that rule didn't exist, I don't know that I wouldn't do the same thing if I was Google. So, you know, and by the way, I should note, Google is one of our biggest partners at TYT. So I'm putting that conflict of interest out there so you guys fully know. But, you know, and it's Amazon, harder to buy there sometimes, people say, some of their competitors' products. Okay, then, you know, that's a strike against Amazon. Then you want to use Amazon less if you can't find some of the products. You know, if you can't find, get proper search results on Google, go to Alta Vista. I don't think they exist anymore, do they? No.
I never even knew about them. Okay. But anyway, I just wanted to make a quick point about my personal experience shopping or searching for products that I want to buy through Google search engine. So I personally haven't experienced, you know, some of the shady behavior that the EU is going after Google for. In fact, a lot of times when I search for a specific product, I'll find a specific product on a website that I'm on, and I'll be like, I bet I can find this product somewhere else for a lower price. And so I immediately go to Google, I'll put it in the search engine, and sure enough, a bunch of different buying options come up on Google's shop section. Mm-hmm. And they're not affiliated with Google, you know? And like usually I'll find the absolute cheapest price for the product that I want, and it's awesome. So I don't know if, you know, that's specifically what they're talking about at the EU. I don't know if Google is functioning differently in the EU. But I can say from personal experience, I haven't had a problem with Google. I've always been able to find like the cheapest price, and it's awesome.
Yeah, okay, yeah. This ad for Google.
By the way, it's not an ad for Google at all.
No, it's not, we're just telling you our experience.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, did this really affect them? I looked at the stock price this morning because I was curious, barely a blip. Like Google is so gigantic that they're like, oh, $2.7 billion, you know, cost of breakfast, whatevs.
Man,
In fact, here, let's go to the last graphic here. Alphabet, that's officially the name of Google now, they changed the name, has more than $92 billion in cash, including nearly $56 billion in accounts outside of Europe. Man, that's some Pablo Escobar money. That's let alone their stock price, let alone everything else. That's just in cash, man.
That's just in cash, man.
So they're like, oh, $2.7 billion. Well, I guess that is a sad day. Anyway, here's your check. We're moving forward.
Well, they're not taking it lightly. They're thinking about appealing.
Of course, they're a giant corporation. They'll fight it to the end.
Right.
Okay. We're out of time, folks. We do have a fun post game for you. That's what Anna tells me.
Yes, epiphanies. Okay. About life. Life epiphanies.
Life epiphanies, nearly my favorite topic. So I'm going to go nuts during the post game. Lucky for you, you can get it for free right now. Go to tytnetwork.com/join. Use promo code FREETYT. Bye bye.